Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And one heartwarming story for you, going back to golf. Ben Bender is 93 years old. He has been golfing since, 1953, and he got his first hole-in-one on what he said was going to be the last round he played.
Money wow. type situation. Yeah,
great, go play with my mother-in-law. Aced
the 152-yard third hole last month with a 5-wood.
That's my 5-wood.
90!
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
So all these young punks are laughing at this guy for taking out a 5-wood on a 150-yard hole. He's in his 90s, okay? He's in his 90s. If he needs a 5-wood to get there, God bless him.
We're not laughing at that. We're laughing at the choice of a 5-wood, which brings back a very famous Larry David Curb episode.
Oh, okay, I didn't see that.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
His 5-wood gets put into the wrong
member's bag. Is that the one that ends up in the coffin?
Yes.
And he wants to steal it, which is a completely rational response.
Exactly.
That's my 5-wood. Come on, get it out of the box. Luke Russert is here. Tori Clark is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel will run the board and do the news. A couple of announcements before we get into the show. First of all, much congratulations to Mayor Muriel Bowser of the District of Columbia, who announced yesterday that she has adopted a child. She did not reveal the sex of the child, but it could be a baby boy Bowser, who could be friends with baby boy Bootsy.
That's right.
Who came over to the house last night. It could be baby boy Bowser. We've got, once again, Memorial Day weekend specials at Chatter on the corner of Jennifer and Wisconsin in Friendship Heights. On Saturday, it's Operation Oyster. It's all-day oyster specials because nothing says Memorial Day like oysters. On Sunday, the 27th, which is when they run the Indy 500, it always runs on the Sunday of Memorial Day. There are 500-cent specials from 11:30 in the morning to 7:49 at night. Don't ask me why. 500-cent select beers. Wow, 500-cent chicken sandwiches, fried chicken sandwiches. For $5, and Winner's Circle milk and cookies for $5 or 500 cents. And on Monday, there's an extended weekend brunch all weekend long. There's complimentary Patriot specials to active or retired military with an ID.
Nice.
And those are 2 hot dogs and a beer. Everybody else can get that for $9, which is really good.
That's a great deal.
But if you're
and
in the military,
lacrosse will be on in the mecca of lacrosse.
That's right. Men's and women's national championships.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we've announced all that. Also, somebody sent us a case of Bridge Pinot Noir. We would like to thank whoever has done that. It did not come with an accompanying letter. Michael? We don't know who sent it.
I'm going back to the box.
Okay, go back to the box. Nigel?
And yes, we got another gift from Marsha Potts. Thank you, Marsha, for the home-growing mushroom kit.
Marsha also sent me a leaf blower, a small leaf blower.
Oh, well, that's good to have.
To blow the leaves off your mushrooms.
Yeah. So you're just 3 easy steps. She says, "Hi, Tony, something for you to do while it rains." And thank goodness it's raining again today.
Just briefly raining today, a shower. All right, let us get to, there are 2 important stories. One is the basketball, one is the hockey. I'm going to start with the hockey because, thankfully, Tori was at the game last night. How many people in your family, how embarrassing was it? At what point did you want to leave or have family members arrested?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
4 of us.
Yeah.
Charlie has headed over to Germany for several weeks for a job, so he could not go with us. But it was 4 of us, Brian, Devin, Colin, myself. And I have to say, we started out a little slow. We were a little worried, a little nervous, right? And then really...
What was the mood in the... Because it was 0-0 after one.
Well, even before the game started, I thought people looked nervous coming in, and they came in a little late, right? The arena did not fill up as early as
You're
it usually
kidding.
Does. No.
Where were the Rock the Redders?
They were in Clyde's drinking heavily, trying to numb the pain that might have been coming. But once it got going, it really got going, and it was a night where everybody did what they had to do, right? The crowd did show up, and they were with him from start to finish. Ovi was fantastic, even though he wasn't scoring. He was fantastic. The F word was used many, many, many times in my row.
In your row?
In my row,
by
yes.
family
and
members?
By family members. I was apologizing to many people. And it was one of those nights, and when you get this far along in the playoffs, you start to see people that you don't normally see, like the classic Washington people. And there were quite a few of those there watching my family. So lots of apologies, but the crowd didn't seem to mind too much.
And a big win.
Huge win.
Because now
huge.
It is possible. Tomorrow night will be Game 7. If you are in a professional sports league, you play all season to get a Game 7 at home. mean, that's what you do. That is the thinnest of margins, theoretically. The Capitals have not used that to their advantage at home at all in their careers. Maybe it works on the road. Maybe Tampa Bay at home, I don't know. I don't know what their record is. Maybe we'll ask Barry Svrluga later. Maybe Tampa Bay at home gets a case of nerves as the Capitals have had. Luke, I'm sure you watched the game.
I did watch the game. I'm wearing my now 1998 Capitals jersey for those watching on News Channel 8, which is this teal or what was this color?
That is not teal. That is sort of
a French blue.
French blue is close. I would have said another kind of, not a cobalt blue, have said.
God bless the late, great Abe Poland, but it was the dumbest decision in the history of Western civilization
to change colors
red, from red, white, and blue to whatever this is.
Insane.
It was great last night.
Cobalt blue and copper. And you tell me how that fits Washington, D.C., because it doesn't.
Kind of looks like the Potomac River if it's not polluted, twilight, maybe. Yep. I don't know. Look, fantastic win. I have zero confidence going into Game 7.
Really?
The Caps are 4-11 in Game 7s. Ovi and Backstrom have lost 7 Game 7s in their career.
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, I hate those stats.
Yeah. Oshie, by the way, who had a great contract this offseason, had not been really playing well. He showed up last night.
Gotta go.
Seemed to get the momentum going, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say there'll be a massive choke job in Game 7.
Oh, I thought they were going to win.
No, really? No,
I disagree.
When the Chatter Sportsbook opens up, I would put 100 bones on the Caps going down in Game 7. Okay.
I think they're going to win it, and I just want you to know, there was a lot of chatter last night at the game.
Ooh,
that if the Caps did not win, a certain person named Tony Kornheiser was going to be blamed.
Because I said they would win.
Yeah, the second you jumped on.
But they did win.
And there was lots of grumbling. Wait, there was lots of grumbling before the game ended. There's lots of grumbling about Kornheiser. He just wants to get in on it when it's going well. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they were going to
Rock the Redders, who are the most self-righteous of all fans in this city.
That is so unfair. They are the best fans.
No, they're
They are really good fans.
Caps.
Yeah.
Chesty.
They're good.
Yes. Michael?
I'm all in on the Caps right now. I think that game last night really showed the league something about who this group happens to be. The way they skated a thin line between just being dangerous and just perfectly aggressive in the right spots. The hits they were making on Tampa Bay linger with you.
Ovi was banging
seven.
Into people. Yeah.
And I think you have to look at that. What really summed
They're
up that
bigger,
game
stronger.
was the pass, the assist that Backstrom had on that power play goal. And he had quotes after the game where he said that his hand was still bothering him in the two games that he has been back. So I think if you have him on all cylinders for Game 7.
So Renee wanted him benched yesterday in the makeup room. Renee said, we lose with him back. We were better with him not on the ice. But I think she might change her mind.
When the first power play came up, there were fans around us saying, because they have not been doing very well in the power play, saying, if they don't score in this power play, I'm going over the glass.
Really?
Yeah, the fans were getting very engaged in it.
I can understand all of that. Look, that could tonight's game or tomorrow night's game could be the last game of the season. For the purposes of the Chatter restaurant, we hope they win. Because every time they win, there's an opportunity for people to come in and spend money in here.
Stanley Cup parade has to go by.
Yeah, have they figured out Vasilevsky? They figured him out?
No. The barrage of shots on goal in the last two games alone shows you that they still have not figured that guy out. And the second goal really was hustle, was a little bit of luck. But no, that worries me. They need to score early in Game 7.
I would like to see them get to the Stanley Cup Finals because I think that sort of ends a lot of the problem that they've had over a lot of years. But also because George McPhee put together – McPhee was the general manager here for a long time, and the general manager that took them to the Stanley Cup Finals 20 years ago, George McPhee put together the Vegas Golden Knights. And you'd like to see how they do as a first-year expansion team against a veteran team like the Capitals. Do you know who this guy – this guy I saw on Channel 4 yesterday, Tommy McFly. Do you know who he is?
Yeah, the DJ. Yeah, the
radio guy.
Yeah, the DJ.
Yeah.
Does he work for Channel 4?
Yes. He's been on for a while.
Is he a news person? Is he considered a news person?
No.
Okay, because he was talking about he was we.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to win, and I just want to know, is there a chance that he anchors the news at some point?
No. He's the local D.C. version of Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's our own Ryan Seacrest.
I forget what station.
Nice guy, by the way.
I forget what radio station.
94.7.
Is it 94.7? Is that what
he did? It was a different one before.
That's not his real name, right?
Right?
That can't be his real name. Because that's the McFly... Is the kid from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Like, he changed his name to become...
probably a radio name.
Okay, he's not
But
Tom.
He's good. I like Tom.
Well, I was just wondering if he was on the news, because he was not... impartial.
But we're homers at NBC4.
Yeah, all the,
really?
Oh, come on. That, yeah. Remember even the late, great Jim Vance used to say we well, but, all the time.
Okay, but Jim Vance is allowed to do that. Okay, but, I'm just wondering. Okay, so he's a personality.
They also make money if the team continues to go on. Yeah. So
all right. Nick Flies, your other, last
could
name
I do
is
one
Pavlik.
Hockey public service announcement?
Oh, sure.
Or public service plea? Is
sure.
That Brian and Phantom Daughter will be flying to Tampa tomorrow morning
oh.
to go to the game. Mm. And they're swearing they're going to wear their jersey. So if there are any no. littles in Tampa, just look out for them. I might need to call in and they might need to be
People
flown out.
In Tampa
well, did Brian
so
play hockey as a kid?
Yes.
And that's why he, like, he gets
yeah.
hockey, right?
Yeah.
He really
yeah.
understands
Devin,
the
Devin
nuance.
Gets it better than anybody else in the family. She knows more about it. I don't know where this came from.
Well,
she is a hockey.
Did she learn that from the horses? How would she have learned
I
that?
I don't know. It's not right. even close.
One other story. The Cavaliers yeah. beat the Celtics again in Cleveland.
Yay.
LeBron James, who's the best basketball player in the world, had 44 points. He's having one of, if not the greatest, playoffs of anybody who has ever played basketball alongside people like Jerry West and Rick Barry, who averaged about 40 a game many, many years ago. It's why he had no level of concern at 0-1 and 0-2, because he's been through this a lot. Kyle Korver and George Hill and Tristan Thompson went 16 for 26. And this question remains, how do you beat Boston in Boston? Now, Boston is 9-0 at home. You don't have to be a math major to understand that if you can't beat Boston in Boston, you will lose the series because there are four games out of seven in Boston. How do you do that? Boston scores 17 more points at home than they do anywhere else. Do we think that Cleveland will win now because they won two in a row at home? Because you got to win in Boston. Luke, you've been in that gym a lot.
As you've said for the last few weeks and as you said on the PTI program yesterday, prove to us that you can win one game in Boston.
You have
to. The way the math lines up, you have to. Boston.
Or you're going to be 3-4 for the series.
Yeah.
And just what happened to the Wizards last year. 9-0 at
home. Oh, but they won game six.
Yeah. There's
John
a picture
Wall.
Of it.
We right have a picture there. Right here.
Right.
John Wall exulting.
They won
after
all their games at home.
Game six.
They won all their games at home. Boston's 9-0 at home, but they're 1-6 on the road. But that is a very tough barn to play in. All that being said, if there is one guy to get a win in that environment.
It's him.
It is him. So I would say that, you know, you don't like to say that game five is the pivotal must win, but if Cleveland were able to steal game five.
Oh, they win.
That's not going back to Boston.
Oh, yeah. No,
so
they win.
I think the series is decided in game five.
So,
I really do.
So my position on this is the same. It's different than Wilbon's. I came in with LeBron. I'm going out with LeBron. I am picking LeBron. But you have to tell me how they win in Boston. Those games have not been within 10 points.
No.
They've not been. So, you know, you have to turn that around. It can't just be LeBron.
No, yeah,
it's got to be other people.
Yeah, he's going to need
Korvers
the other guys.
And the Smiths and the Hills and the – it's got to be the other people.
He had some interesting comments in the post-game interview with Doris Burke. He was sort of saying things along the lines like, believe in me, trust in me. It was almost prophetic in some way about the young players around him. And I'm looking at this like, wow. LeBron's getting very deep up there, but he should be able to at least be competitive in Boston. I don't think we're going to see a 20-point blowout in Game 5. I think this will be a tight, close,
hard-fought game. None of these four games have been what you would call tight, close, hard-fought games.
I'm aware of
None.
That, but this one I'm going to go out on a limb and say it will be okay. different.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Barry Zwerluga will join us. He, too, was in the, is it called the Capital One Arena now?
Yep. That's right.
He was there last night, though unburdened by family at that point. And we'll ask him about that. And we'll ask him about the Nats. Juan Soto made his starting debut yesterday. You cannot ask for much more. A 19-year-old kid, first pitch, opposite field, home run, over 400 feet on the carry. So we'll talk about that and other stuff. And again, whoever sent us the wine, what's the name of the wine again? Pinot Noir?
It's a badge.
B-A-D-G-E. Do you have anything on that?
No.
So we need to do some research on that. Oh, you know what? It's possible it doesn't belong to us.
This is a restaurant.
It's possible. It could belong to the restaurant, but I'm claiming it at the
well,
moment.
Yeah, when it's in the studio for more than 24 hours, I think we just take ownership.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Casper ad. Podcast, and I'm going to read it verbatim, and then
Until
I'm going to tell you
news.
A story. Podcast listeners are invited to take advantage of Casper's competitive limited-time Memorial Day sale offer. Start your summer off right by choosing the Internet's favorite mattress this Memorial Day. Casper has three mattress lines to choose from. The original Casper, the innovative Wave, and the streamlined Essential. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amount of both sink and bounce. They are memory foams, so they remember who you are when you get back on the mattress. The Wave features a patent-pending premium support system to mirror the natural shape of your body, which could embarrass many of us at some point. And the Essential has a streamlined design at a price that won't keep you up at night. The breathable design of each mattress helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. We like to call it the Luke Russert trial for other reasons that we won't get into here. And returns are hassle-free if you're not completely satisfied. For a limited time, visit Casper, CASPER.com/savings, not Tony, /savings. Receive 10% off your order with any mattress purchase. This special offer expires May 29th, 2018. Is that Tuesday? Next Tuesday, right? Terms and conditions apply. Okay? This is good, but what happened last night is even better. Michael?
So Bootsy is now a fast crawler. He is crawling hand over knee at this point, and Liz took him upstairs when we had dinner to go crawl around the carpeted upstairs level. Bootsy finds the Casper dog bed.
Right.
We
that,
have
that
a
Chessie
new
loves so.
Product endorser. Bootsy approves of the Casper mattress, and we are looking into a baby boy Bootsy-sized Casper dog bed to keep at the foot of our bed.
So he jumps right in and rolls around in it. And the smell of baby boy Bootsy, that this Chessie, like, was pawing at it.
Oh, could there be a territory
said, what is
war?
This? Yeah. Who's been sleeping in my bed? And it was baby boy Bootsy. So.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
To Dylan beginning.
It's a good way to start a song, isn't it?
Gets my attention. This is Lance Brewer of Cincinnati, Ohio. Cincinnati, Ohio, one of the cities in America named the Queen City.
Queen City, that's right.
Right, it's not the only one. Charlotte, apparently, the Queen City as well.
And Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo is the Queen City?
Yes, because it's the second largest city in the state of New York.
I had no idea.
Yes.
Lance Brewer, who has sent us a whole bunch of things that we could rename the restaurant, but we're not renaming the restaurant. Thank you to Lance Brewer. We'll talk about music in a little while, but let's get to Barry's Veluga. Barry was at the game last night, the Caps game last night. We will ask him. The Caps appeared to win decisively, although it was 0-0 after one period. Torrey's family got out alive, which is great.
Big plus.
Yeah, what are your basic thoughts of what happened? And since you had urged Braden Holtby to carry the torch here, and he shut them out, do you think he has passed Vasilevsky in any way, who absorbs so many more shots than Holtby does?
Well, Vasilevsky wasn't the reason Tampa lost. And that was kind of the situation that Holtby was in going into this game. He wasn't really the reason the Capitals had lost, but he also hadn't been the reason they won. He needed to be a difference maker, and he was last night. I mean, really some huge saves that might have been goals, and those are the ones that turn games.
Your phone is terrible. Where are you standing? Your phone is terrible.
You know, every time my phone is terrible in my own house,
yeah.
I go to the car. I drive around the neighborhood. Is it terrible now?
It's not great. Yeah. It's like it's not on the Bob Ryan level of awfulness, but it's not great.
Okay, well.
Oh,
we'll
good. Move. Stand right there. You're good okay. Right there. Good. Go ahead.
So you're right in saying that they seem to win decisively. The problem when you're the cap in the history of this franchise is that you can play like you win decisively and still lose the game. And they would argue that, you know, and I think Caps fans would argue that even in game five in Tampa, they carried the play for 58 out of 60 minutes, and they lost the game. So that's always on the table with these guys. This time, they not only carried the play, they were rewarded for it. They finally got a power play. They didn't have a power play in the entirety of game five. When they finally got it in the second period of game six, P.J. Oshie delivered on a pass from Nicklas Backstrom. And then they finished it from there with a great hustle play by Chandler Stephenson. to get the second goal, that the building finally just kind of exhaled at that point. And so it was a very solid 60-minute win in which everybody who dressed had some sort of hand in it, led by Holtby, who needed to be their best player and was their best player.
Okay, so we move on because you get to Game 7, and if you're not the Washington Capitals, getting Game 7 at home is a really big deal. It doesn't ensure a win, but it gives you a leg up. You got your own fans. You got to produce for one game. And most often home teams win, not all the time, most often home teams win Game 7. Do you have some sense of Tampa's home record this year and then their home record perhaps against the Capitals and your sense of a Game 7? The Capitals have been dreadful as a franchise in Game 7s, but they've been a better road team than home team this year.
Yeah, this year in the playoffs, for sure, they've been a better road team than home team. I haven't gone through the matchups with the Lightning, home and road, all that kind of thing. We know that the Capitals know that they can win down there, and not only can they win, they can dominate down there, which is what they did in games 1 and 2. They played, you know, if last night maybe was their best game of the playoffs, games 1 and 2 are right there behind them, or maybe ahead of them. They stomped them down there. So that, to me, matters. I also think this dynamic certainly exists at, on F Street, whatever it is, Capital One Arena now. I also think it exists in other hockey arenas, and that is, in a big game, in a playoff game, certainly in a Game 7, if the road team scores first, the dynamic in the building changes. It becomes such a huge advantage for the road team because you know goals are going to be at a premium. The Game 7 is not going to be a 6-5 final, almost certainly. And so the fan base senses how important that was, and now they're kind of backpedaling, and they're getting quiet, and they are quite nervous because they don't know if the team is going to come back. So I do think in a weird way, a strong start is essential for Washington, and the first goal could be such a big goal if it's for the Capitals, because I don't know this specifically about Tampa. I do know they got quiet in games 1 and 2, but even in Pittsburgh, where they have 5 Stanley Cups and they've won the last 2, when the Capitals got up in that series, that building got quiet in a hurry, and it made kind of a difference, at least in the atmosphere.
So Torrey has said that there are Caps fans who are annoyed at me because they think I'm jumping on now after 30 years of calling them choking dogs. Let me set the record straight. You've been choking dogs. All right, for 30 years, you've been choking dogs. I happen to think this year they're going to win it. I think Ovechkin, I think they're going to rise up and they're going to win. And I've thought this all year, and I haven't thought this before. But I would ask this, because you're going to have to put this in perspective. Tampa finished with more points than the Capitals this year. Tampa was a better team than the Capitals this year. If you go to 7 and lose with a better team, is that a choke? Like Wilbon thinks it is, because Wilbon said they won the first 2 on the road. Wilbon said this would be their biggest choke ever. What do you think, Barry?
Well, I think Wilbon's wrong on the biggest choke ever. I mean, I just think that blowing 3-1 leads to inferior teams, and even, you know, and that includes, say, 2010, when they were the President's Trophy winners and they had a 3-1 lead against 8th-seeded Montreal, and they lost 3 straight to bow out in the first round. That is a choke. Here's what I'd say about this series if they were to lose. I think it matters, if we're analyzing this through the choking lens, that they won last night and they won handily. If they had lost last night, and they would have become, they would have lost 4 straight to a team that they throttled consecutively on the road. That would be kind of a fold. They stood up last night. You're right about everything else. They are playing a team that had a better regular season that was the heavy favorite going into this series. But I do think also winning those first 2 games on the road kind of took away the house money they were playing with. Once you go up like that, there are expectations. You're wondering, well, could they come home and just sweep them? And so there was a path to, say, last night, a game six where they trailed 3-2, and it wasn't that big a deal. You kind of traded wins and losses, and they, you know, maybe played tough and lost in a bad bounce in Tampa or something like that. That path wasn't the path they took, and so it does frame it in a way that it allows that kind of choking storyline that we can never get away from to enter back into the picture.
Yeah. I mean, the Rock the Redders, I mean, you know, stop. Back away, step off, as we like to say.
Well, here's what I would say about that, though. I mean, when are they supposed to? I don't know how they're supposed to act. They get criticized for getting too excited for a win that they haven't had in 20 years, and then they get criticized for being too touchy or defensive. I don't know. I just think they're in kind of they care about this team. They've cared about it. You know, the core people have cared about it. And live through a lot of this misery. I just think it's hard to tell them to back off now. Anyway,
I just did. That's just me. That's just personal on my part. I don't know if you're following the Nats at all. For a period of time over the last month or so, the Atlanta Braves, who surprisingly to me, and all credit to the Atlanta Braves, have the best record in the National League and were starting. The three youngest players in the National League, three of them in a row, and they're doing great. Then Juan Soto gets called up over the weekend. He's 19 years old. He plays for the Nats. He pinch hit, struck out, I think, on Sunday. But last night, first pitch he saw, went opposite field home run, had a real good hit, another hit, hit the ball hard. What do you hear? I don't suspect you watched that. I did. What do you hear about him? How 19, that's tough. Although Bryce Harper came up at 19. Ken Griffey Jr., Willie Mays. There's a lot of people came up at 19 who were great. Believe me, there's more who came up at 19 that weren't great. But what do they say about Juan Soto?
Well, he's on an ascendant path. This is somebody who started this season in short single-A ball in Hagerstown, just absolutely destroyed that league, moved to high class A, which is in Potomac, and then got to double A before, basically every left fielder that the Nationals had died.
Yes.
And so they needed somebody. And the funny thing is, this is, you don't bring up the 19-year-old to fill a gap for 8 days and say, hey, kid, here's a test. You have to think at some level he's ready. And they think at some level he's ready. And it would, if he goes back down at some point, that's fine. But he doesn't have to go back down ever. There was the home run, Tony, I think matters not because he hit it in his second at bat ever or his first start, but because of what it was. He murdered a pitch, an outside pitch, the opposite way, and it didn't sneak into the bullpen, and you'd say, wow, he has power to all fields. He hit it over the bullpen, essentially over his name on the scoreboard, and into the seats beyond the bullpen.
The next name he could have hit was my WAF name, if that kept going. So
that's right.
Yeah.
So he had, I also thought it was interesting that Harper, they blew out the Padres as a 10-2 game.
Yeah.
But darn if Harper didn't come up and also hit an opposite field home run.
Bang.
Just kind of say, hey, kid, I'm 25. I've been doing it for 6 years. Here we go.
This is exactly, that is exactly what FP said. He said on the broadcast,
really?
He probably looked at Soto and said, hey, no punk kid is going to do this to me, and I'm hitting one out too. And this was FP's second great call, the first one being the moment that Kendrick went down, he said, that's an Achilles.
Oh, wow.
He said it right on the air in the moment. Mm-hmm. Scary. So
So what this means is, could the kid be hitting, 210 in 40 days?
Sure.
He could be.
Sure.
But his ability is there. He has baseball-wide, before he was called up, he could have spent the rest of the year at Harrisburg And he had risen to a point where people considered him a top five prospect across the game. And remember, Tony, he's not the best prospect in their system. Victor Robles, who is hurt with a hand injury, is supposed to be their next great outfield.
That's right.
So when he comes back, when Robles comes back, they have another young, dynamic, powerful, speedy option for the outfield. They've just got to kind of hold it together here as these injuries mount.
All right, so you're gonna go to Tampa for Game 7, I assume.
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll have a good time, and maybe this extends. Maybe if they win, then they get to. You get to go to Vegas. That's first
Vegas,
prize.
Baby.
You get to go to Vegas in the summer when it's 135 degrees.
But still, Vegas.
There's air conditioning in Vegas.
Vegas or Winnipeg? I had a tough time deciding who I was rooting for.
Yeah, sure.
If you do go to Vegas, our friend Fredo is now running the Tropicana.
Right.
So ask for him or Michael, actually.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Great. Thank you, Barry.
Appreciate it, Tony.
Barry's for Luga, boys and girls. We will take a break. We'll come back with news. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Policy Genius ad. Over 80% of people think life insurance costs double what it actually costs. Not only that, almost 100% of people think buying life insurance is a pain in the neck. The truth is, a healthy 35-year-old can get $500,000 in coverage for less than $30 a month. And getting life insurance doesn't have to be complicated because there's Policy Genius. Policy Genius is the way to compare life insurance online. In just 5 minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers to find the best policy for you. Policy Genius has helped over 4 million people shop for insurance and placed over $20 billion in coverage. And they don't just make life insurance easy. They also compare disability insurance, renter's insurance, and health insurance. If you care about it, they can cover it. So if you've been thinking about getting life insurance, go to policygenius.com. It's the easy way to compare the top insurers and find the best policy for you. You'll be saving time, money, and hassle, and it's free. Policy Genius, because comparing life insurance doesn't need to be a pain in the neck.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I'll read the email. My name is Stephanie Bartles from Portage, Wisconsin. My uncle Mark Betthauser submitted my original song written for my daughter Harper that he had produced, Harper's Tune, last year, which you aired on your podcast. The feedback and response I've gotten is exponential, and I want to thank you for sharing my music with your listeners. I've received so many kind messages and emails. It's been an incredible experience listening to how much people have appreciated this opportunity. Received multiple requests for more music to be shared. And I wanted to share a few more recent originals that have been produced. My fiance, Derek Olson, and I have a band, Raising Red, named after our redheaded daughter, and have produced our first album, The Road, in our home basement studio with a little help from friends. I've attached 3 original songs, one written by myself, Take Me Down, one by Derek, Streets of Change, and one we co-wrote together, Rust Belt Highway. This is which?
This is Take Me Down. I think we played Rust Belt Highway a couple of weeks ago.
So she's sensational.
She's brilliant.
She's sensational.
I mean, this is just beautiful.
You really can listen to this original music at the end of the podcast. In fact, you can skip all the junk that I say and go right to the end of the podcast for the high-quality music that we have. And Michael, if people want to send in such music, how do they do it?
Send your music into the show by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheisershow.com. And when I hear this, I keep expecting to see this later on my phone trending on Spotify.
Or in a emotional, like, Dawson's Creek episode. You know, it reminds me...
This would be perfect on the OC.
It reminds me of a love scene in a 90s teen drama.
Now, early
2000s. Early 2000s drama. Yeah. I love it. It's fantastic.
Are we selling anything? I think we are.
So I had a great phone conversation yesterday with Rob Kolpian, who runs the TK shop, shop.tonykornheisershow.com, and we are going to have big announcements. We are entering the wine and beverage category in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
So my wife is very nervous about that.
Because the wine tyrant is going to be featured.
Until that announcement, please go check out. We still have some great t-shirts, and we have a nice, cool, dry, ladies cut t-shirt that'll get you ready for the summer.
Terrific. We have somebody from Tennessee here today, from Chattanooga, Tennessee, who showed us a license plate, a Tennessee license plate.
Oh, yes.
Bootsy.
Yes.
B-O-O-T-S-I-E.
Didn't realize he was driving yet.
That's, you know, Bootsy not yet driving.
On a...
Oh, yes.
On a Subaru. Yes. That's I have a problem with that.
That'll be our second car.
Can I bring up something about the Subarus for a quick second? And you're a neurotic only child like I am.
Yes.
And there are a lot of littles who are also very neurotic. And sometimes I express things and I feel better about myself because I realize I'm not the weirdest person out there. One
That's
of the things
true.
That drives me absolutely up a wall is when you're behind someone in traffic and they haven't taken off the dealer license plate frame from their car.
Right.
Why don't you just take it off? Why do you have the Coons Ford dealer plate thing? Why do you have Jack Fitzgerald? Like, what? Why? Take it off. Why are you giving these dealers free advertising?
You
they didn't
have
do anything for
you.
You've
proven that you are the weirdest person.
You
out
are
there.
The weirdest person.
Does
in the
that
world.
Not drive anyone
I
else
look
crazy?
At the numbers and the letters.
I know, but it just, I go, take it off. Put something.
Maybe the big fans.
Put your sports team around there. Like, I have
Fitzgerald.
A Buffalo Bills license plate frame. I don't. Why do you have?
Well, I think
your
it's worse to
it?
Put the team logo
yeah, I do
there.
Too.
Really?
Yeah, and I keep the dealership one on just because I think it helps protect the sharp edging. Because you often get the curled edges on the license plates when it's left alone.
But doesn't that look cooler to have the curled edges? Like you're kind of a badass, like outdoor woodsman or something.
Is that what you're going for? With
wow!
I just
on your hybrid.
Right. Yes.
Living in this capital of the United States,
I just don't understand why we give these auto dealers that you're losing 40% when you drive off the lot.
We're just going to call you Lumberjack Luke.
All this, yeah. All this crap. Luke. Yeah. Anywho, it's DM me on Instagram if anyone else has this problem.
What
Thank
else you got?
Mr. Tony, by the way, before I start the news proper, belated happy birthday to a great little Abby Lee Olson, formerly of D.C. Now she lives in Chicago with her boyfriend, Scott Denninger. They
sent yeah.
Yes.
He runs tickets for the Cubs.
Yes.
He's Wilbon's boy.
Yes. So even though he's from Chicago, we still love him. And it was apparently her 40th birthday on the 19th. So according to Gary, she is officially a man.
Okay,
so happy birthday, Abby. Was there anything else you wanted to say about the Nats? I know we talked a lot about it.
No, no. I called the home run. I called the Harper. I sat in my house, and it went to 2-1 on Harper. First of all, if you want to cure your hitting woes, the Padres come to town.
Yes,
15
yes,
hits.
Yes.
I sat there. I said, if this goes to 3-1, he's hitting the next one out. It went to 3-1. He hit the next one out. I turned off the TV. I mean, I had won. I felt really good about that. So
if the 19-year-old continues to hit like that, Harper will be swinging out of his shoes
the
entire summer.
That's right.
I just wanted to say, I'm sorry. Tori, is your hand up?
A question.
Yes.
Trying to follow some of it last night during the game, which was hard, during the hockey game.
Yeah.
Is it true that Harper's first major league home run was against San Diego?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, somebody was tweeting that last night.
I don't know about that. Harper's first major league home run went to straightaway center field and was deep.
Didn't he also steal home in that game as well?
It was crazy that 2012. Yes. But no, the one crazy thing, though, about Harper and Soto, if Soto emerges this season, a lot easier to let Mr. Harper walk away.
100%. Also, by the way, helps you, he's a lefty.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can set up a sort of a pitching-proof lineup. You can do that if he can hit.
And just a quick word of praise for Gio. I know we give him a lot of flack, but 7 innings, 111 pitches. He's 5-2 now with a 2.38 ERA.
I know. Do you trust him in a playoff?
Probably not.
Thank you. All right, let's move on.
Here you go. To the French Open, Serena Williams will be playing. This is her first major that she'll be playing in since her 14-month layoff. She gave birth to her first child last year. The French Open could have seeded her. But they said, no, we're not going to do that. And so she will enter the tournament as an unseeded player, meaning that it's very likely that she will meet a very high-rated player.
Now I'm going to say this. This is fair,
yes.
But it's not smart.
Yes.
It's fair, not smart. It is a very bad draw for her and a very bad draw for the seeded player that she gets. Somebody's going to be knocked out of this tournament who can win it in the first round. So
it's French and it's so stupid.
Shouldn't do it.
Apparently they could have offered a seeding, but they said they're going to follow convention and give players seedings
Serena Williams
based on
the
current
Royal
rankings.
Wedding. At the Royal Wedding. Look great.
That's right.
Do you know where her friendship started with Meghan Markle?
No, I didn't know they were friends.
They were very good friends. They met in a celebrity charity volleyball game a few years ago, and they became fast friends.
Oh.
And she had prime seeding. She was way
She looked great. Looked
call good, those Mr. Too. Tony seats.
Great.
To the NFL, it looks as if the Lions and Matt Patricia will not face any discipline or fines.
Fantastic ruling.
Yes, from the league. They've issued a long statement, but in essence it says, the situation is not subject to the personal conduct policy as the allegations occurred well before Patricia's affiliation with the NFL.
Kicking the can down the road when you do that.
Wasn't on our watch.
You're saying, right, don't come to us with this, even though we could do something about it. because we have the technicality of saying he wasn't involved in the NFL. No, he was 22 years old. He wasn't involved in the NFL. All right, fine.
We will also go to college football, well, former college football head coach Lou Holtz.
This is very interesting.
Has settled a defamation lawsuit with the Daily Beast. I guess this is a headline they ran in July 19th of 2016 with a story on Holtz's remarks at a luncheon for the Republican National Coalition for Life at the Republican National Convention. The headline read, Lou Holtz at RNC says immigrants are deadbeats invading the U.S. In its apology, the Daily Beast admitted that Holtz did not say immigrants are deadbeats, but they said it stands by the rest of the story. They have reached a settlement, terms not disclosed.
It is very, very hard when you are famous to win these lawsuits. It's extremely hard. In this particular case, clearly he did not, he may have implied this. He did not say this. He was quoted erroneously. There is a settlement on this. You don't have to do it.
Yes, it's really hard, but I think more and more people are fighting back.
And winning.
Yeah, and winning.
Because he didn't say the exact words.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't put those words in my mouth. He said
that. And per Tori's point, that's actually, I think, a change in recent time.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, I mean, when I was in television, there was always this idea of it brings more attention to it if you try
so
and
let
fight
it go.
Back. Just let it go.
Yeah.
Move on your way.
People are not letting it go.
But
now.
No, nor should you. No. With all the avenues open to fight back.
If you have been, in fact, maligned, you should say,
Absolutely. Oh.
Well, I know it's not exactly apples to apples, but who was it? Hulk Hogan and Gawker? And Gawker's pretty much out of business,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Drove him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
so there you go.
By the way, I think I've said this before on the air. There is this HBO special that our friend Bill Simmons had a lot to do with on Andre the Giant.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The star of that special is Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan is great.
Yeah, he's terrific.
Had no idea.
He's terrific,
I thought he was simply a howler and, you know, and was an idiot. That's what I thought. His insight, everything he says from a historic perspective, he's fabulous. He's the star of the whole thing.
Yeah, that match that they sort of,
yes.
they do the big breakdown
yes.
of was just
yes.
fantastic.
I want to mention something.
Okay.
Richard Goodwin died in,
yes.
Well into his 80s. I'm going to commend to you to go to the Washington Post
yes.
and read the obit. I'm not going to sit here and tell you all the things that he accomplished, but the things he accomplished were many. He was for over 40 years the husband of Doris Kearns, Doris Kearns Goodwin. They are incredibly important in the history of politics in this country. Yes, it's a very, very smart room. She's from Rockville Center, and I've followed her particular career. He was portrayed in a great movie called Quiz Show.
He's in Quiz Show.
He's the guy who does the investigation. He's portrayed by Rob Morrow in Quiz Show. And that's nowhere near the headline of his life.
No.
Right.
Just
right.
read this, right, Tori? You
yeah.
knew him.
Kennedy's, LBJ, incredible influence.
Huge influence
in an
shaping
important time
the politics
in
this country in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. Just read it. So go ahead. What else you got?
Let's
get to the big news.
The big news?
Yeah, the big news is the selling of the radio station locally.
Yes. Dan Snyder has sold the
last vestige of Red Zebra.
Yes, radio station in full disclosure, you and I worked at for a number of years.
Full disclosure, I'm not hiding that. I worked at it.
Yes.
I started to work there when it was owned by the Rails brothers.
Okay.
Ultimately, down the road, it got sold to Dan Snyder, and I continued to work there
yes.
under Dan Snyder.
Yes.
When Dan Snyder owned the radio station, a lot of the people that we had on as guests, we didn't pay them because they would not take money. They worked at the Washington Post in the sports section.
Yes, no conflict.
Understandably, they would
yeah.
not take money if the source of that money was Dan Snyder. He is out now. This was now bought by the Radio One people, which is now called Urban One, I believe. Kathy Hughes
mm-hmm.
was involved with this
yes.
at the beginning for 20, 30 years, whatever. There is a claim that they are happy with a sports format and want to stay with a sports format. I don't know what this means. I don't think it's good for staff. Now, I'm not talking about talent now.
Yeah,
I don't think it's good
staff.
For sales and support staff
yeah.
because Urban One has its own
That's right.
sales and support staff. They don't need redundancy here. They don't need these people. So I don't know what happens to them. But talented could be great for talent. They could come in to our friend Kevin Sheehan and say, you're the most valuable person out here. We're going to double your salary and give you a long-term deal. That would be great if that happened.
Yeah,
I don't think any of us knows what's going to be. But there seems to be, not necessarily a commitment, there's an indication from the president of Urban One that they like sports.
Yes.
So, you know.
Yes. And we do wish, we do have some friends still. And I did speak to Kip for some time last night. And he's like, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, it'll...
Well, they have contracts for as long as they have contracts. Tori has her hand up.
What does this, what, if anything, does this say about radio? Radio strong, radio dying?
I don't, I mean...
If somebody comes in and buys you, there must be some thought that the future is good, but the amount of money paid is nowhere near what the original sale price
was. Great deal on it. And I think that was more what they probably looked at, is it, look, for this price, you know, we should take this. So well, yeah.
Now, the Redskins games will still be on that, but they're also on MAL, aren't they?
They are on MAL.
Two different stations?
Yes. And I'm not sure that Radio 1 will have the rights to sell it.
No.
I'm not sure.
No.
Yeah, so they won't. So, yeah.
None of us miss the commute to that facility out in Rockville, especially during the school year. One of the single worst commutes in the history of the DMV.
I'm really glad to physically, I'm not going to say anything bad about the people there.
Right, no.
I mean, it goes without saying that everybody would rather work for no bosses than bosses.
Correct.
I mean, that's obvious. But I never miss the commute. I'm really glad to be right here doing this.
I actually had to give you a ride home one day where your car
broke down. My car went out.
Yeah, it was funny. But secondly, I do think what's really interesting about this is being a longtime 980 listener and their competition is 106.7 The Fan, there is a vacuum that needs to be filled for a strong African-American sports radio personality in this city. We have a large African-American population, and there really is not
Doc, but if you look
at 106.7, the Fan is pretty milk during
the day.
They
don't have that.
They don't have that. And 980, I think, here, you could really have a voice emerge, and I hope Doc is great, but maybe give a chance to a young guy. Like, the guy on ESPN, Clinton Yates, I listened to his radio show if he ever had one on 980.
Well,
they did try a morning show,
The Man Cave, which was not successful.
Try again. Throw something at the wall.
Did you want to hear the story about the teenager who has to pay $36 million, Mr. Tony?
I would love to hear that story.
This is in Oregon.
Is this teenager related to me in any way so that I will end up paying this money?
No, I don't think you will actually be on the hook for this.
Unless you've got some other news you want to share with us.
No. This was last September. I guess this teenager and some of his friends were walking along this trail of this huge forest preserve, and they thought it would be fun, or he did, to throw some fireworks into the valley. And he did, and they videotaped it and giggled while they did that. And
this is like those dopes in Utah who knocked over the boulder.
Yep. That's right.
Thought that would be fun, too.
Except by knocking over that boulder, they didn't start a forest fire that would consume more than 48,000 acres cost firefighters at least $20 million. It became known as the Eagle Creek Fire. It burned from September 2nd until November 30th. And there were these people right there that saw him do it. It's like, what are you doing, man? You can't do that. So, and then they said, call the fire department, call the police, call anyone you can. And I've actually seen the video.
Call a lawyer.
Yeah.
Call the hurt
call
line.
Call Ghostbusters. Yeah. Whatever you can.
Well, he doesn't have $36 million.
No, but the judge said, I'm trying to find the quote from the judge.
And then he's not going to be, is he going to be sent to jail in lieu of the money?
No, he said, notice being that the teen has some options for paying off the millions. The court could authorize a supervising authority to create a payment plan, he wrote.
He's unlikely to earn $36 million in his lifetime.
He said it was possible for the teen to pay restitution for just 10 years if he successfully completed his probation, complied with payment plans, and did not commit any other offenses. Now, I'm not sure if that means the whole 36 should be paid off, or whether it's just like after 10 years you say, all right, that was a good try, now go on with your
life. I don't think 10 years is enough.
I agree.
I think he should pay until the day he dies.
I mean, this is just...
There was a case like this in California a number of years ago where it was a teenage girl, I believe, started the fire intentionally. And I remember reading the quote, and I was so outraged. It was like, well, she feels really bad about it. You know, it's a tough time at her house right now. No, 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 you, if you as a kid steal a radio or a stereo or something and then you assault someone, that to me is a million times less bad than this.
Yeah, this.
You need to have this hung around your neck for life. You torch 48,000 acres. You killed animals. You killed homes. You're lucky people didn't die.
Yeah, I think it's
four
homes.
You need to have this tattooed on your forehead.
1,900 hours of community service.
Scarlet Letter.
Only 1,900 hours. See,
1,900 hours. And he's forced to write apology letters to 150.
He has to write on the board, I will not throw firecrackers
so there
down
you go.
A gully.
I don't know why that makes me think of this, but something Luke just said. Have you guys talked about on the show S.I. Price's piece about the Oregon baseball player?
No, that was great.
No.
Great
I don't know
story.
It.
That
know.
Is today. Go find it. S.I. Price wrote a piece for Sports Illustrated on this kid who's a star on the Oregon State baseball team, took them
another
to two
Luke.
National championships, right? Had a he pled guilty to a sexual assault of his niece a few years prior to. Ooh. And I can't even begin to describe how well written this thing is.
Well, he's a great writer.
The complexities.
I think he lives in D.C., by the way.
Of these situations. It was phenomenal.
Wow.
Absolutely phenomenal piece.
I agree.
We'll get out of here. We will come back with Old Guy Radio. I have a story to tell in Old Guy Radio of something that happened to me yesterday. Michael is aware of this, and I will poll everybody on what they would have done given these circumstances. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
These are the Rolling Stones. This is Brown Sugar. This is Old Guy Radio for the day. Why are we playing this other than the fact that it's one of the greatest songs ever?
It is one of the greatest songs ever. Because on this date in 1971, the album of which this song came from, Sticky Fingers, hit number one. And the original album, I believe,
had a zipper
right on the album.
They are still playing.
Yes.
They are the youngest one of them. Is in his mid to late 70s. And they still pack people in, the Rolling Stones, in terms of critical commentary. What are you going to say? Like, you're going to say, oh, I don't like them? Come on, stop.
Jagger said a long time ago, said the lyric was all to do with dual combination of drugs and girls.
Yes.
The song is a very instant thing, a definite high point. And then he said many years later, oh, yeah, I could probably never write something like that now.
No.
It's just too raw.
No.
By the way, this is the first album, I think I sent you a note on this, that Brian Jones had no part in whatsoever,
right,
so it was really
right.
moving on past his era.
Well, that's because
he was dead,
face down in a pool.
That's right.
That's why that happened.
Yes.
Wild times.
Yeah.
yes.
So before I get into this particular incident that happened yesterday, I want to praise my son. Michael built a tomato patch. Explain what you did.
I used my two Ivy League degrees to build a tomato cage for our 3x4 foot garden patch in the backyard of the little house. And maybe we let this ground go fallow because we have been planting tomatoes there for a couple of years
and
now.
And they grow very well.
And I
well
had to
the
battle
deer eat them.
Weeds for about an hour and a half. Bootsy's crawling around.
Yeah.
I got a simple net that I was then able to fold over and connect in the middle. I was using the net itself as a string to try and withstand some of those summer storms and the craftiness of the bunnies
and the
deer in the backyard.
Should I spray the netting with deer repellent?
Should I
do that?
Let us see how this works. I left a few loopholes to see how smart those deer really are.
How do we water the tomatoes?
Well, do you have a hose?
Yeah.
Well, I would say turn the hose to the left
right.
and then press the nozzle.
Okay.
And there should be a spray that comes out of the hose
right.
almost immediately.
Right. And so you don't worry about the water being caught in the netting.
No, the great thing about a net is that it has holes in it.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. So I'm set
deep,
then.
Deep.
For those who
we have some great heirloom brandy wines that should start. They've been, you know, in buckets for the last 8 9
I just don't
weeks.
Want the deer. The deer eat them all the time. I don't want the deer to eat them.
You
get
know
a
how
gun.
This ends. They
get
will eat
gun.
These tomatoes.
You should charge about $5 extra for tomatoes from the
corn. Tony's backyard.
Yeah. Ooh. But for those of you not from D.C., I would like to say that the D.C. deer are by far the number one ranked deer in the country for ingenuity.
Yeah.
The incredible manner of which they can survive, eat everything you have in your garden, and then show up on your front lawn at 10 a.m. and miraculously never die.
And give you a little deer finger.
So who wins? The deer or the young man with the two Ivy League degrees? Who wins? That's what this summer is about.
Going deer.
That's what this summer
is
about.
To be fair, the degrees are in English literature and education leadership. I don't think...
How many deer have even one degree from anywhere? Like, I didn't... In Binghamton, we had no deer in my class.
Yeah.
None.
Not
zero.
As many as you might think.
No. All right, so this is what happened to me yesterday. This is going to be word for word. You can ask questions at any point. I am in my car I am driving to the end of my street in a residential neighborhood. This is not a commercial neighborhood. It's not like two blocks from Commerce. It's a residential neighborhood. I'm about to make a left turn onto a slightly larger street to drive to the PTI show. Someone turns into my street honking his horn. He is a driver in what I would consider to be not a great car. Not the worst car you've ever seen, but not a great car. Not a car that if you had a choice, you would necessarily drive.
Condition of car or make of car?
Condition of car. And yeah, make of car was okay.
Wasn't a Subaru.
No, it wasn't a Subaru.
Okay, just checking.
It was a domestic car. This person rolls down his window and I roll down my window. He honks at me to get me to stop. He rolls down his window. I roll down my window. He tells me a quick story about his daughter being in Baltimore, having had surgery. He needs to get to Baltimore as quickly as he can. He says, the engine light is on in my car. And I say, well, what do you want? And he said, well, I just want a little bit of help. Okay, now the calculation is he wants money. Okay, yeah. He wants money. He offers, he said, I'll write my name for you. I'll write my address for you. I'll do whatever you want. I could just use a little bit of help. I am anticipating at this moment that this is a complete scam. An utter scam. There's just no doubt.
Good instinct.
Yes. There's just no doubt in my mind that this is a scam, that he came into this particular area thinking that people here would be sympathetic to him. And I listened for a while. And part of me says what I should do is say to him, and I'm clear thinking now, said, you know, I've got a cell phone. Let me call the police and get you some help. But I did not say that. I listened to him do whatever he did. And then it was my time to make a decision as to what I would do. I'm going to go around the room and ask you what you would have thought and what you would have done. I did not feel, I did not feel physically threatened by this because I'm in a car and I got my foot on the brake and I can just go.
Had he gotten out of his car or was
no,
he still in his car?
No, he's in his car. We are talking to each other through the windows. He has stopped me, but if your question is, did he know you? No, I had no sense of that. None whatsoever. I thought it was completely random. We have two very young people and two adults in the room. Go ahead.
Well, as the only member of the team here that's been carjacked, I have probably a slightly different opinion.
That's fine.
I think this is a scam. I think that he was preying on you as an older man. You had a nice car. He's trying to box you in. And my immediate fear would have been that in the context of this conversation, there's an accomplice waiting for you to maybe get out of the car, go into the window.
Oh, I am not getting out of the car.
But knock you out. Okay, incapacitate you steal the car. So if in fact...
I did not get that sense.
That's how I'm thinking in these situations.
That's
because
how they
it's
get
a very
you.
Weird thing. Right. And you can never... People are very brazen these days. The police, admittedly, are stretched thin, especially in neighborhoods that are not high-crime neighborhoods. They don't pay a lot of attention to it. And where this happened is relatively close to being able to get on 495, correct? And escape.
Sure.
So I would have immediately just kept driving. I would have said, sorry, I don't know what you want. If you need some help, there's numerous gas stations around here. And what exactly can you do with help if the engine light's on? You're not an auto mechanic.
That's right.
Right? Are you supposed to get out of the car and look at the engine? You can do that at a gas station. So
that's what you
stay in your car. You're a vulnerable old man. Don't fall victim.
Frail.
Wow.
Tori.
You never should have stopped. And just because some car is honking at you, you never should have stopped. That was a mistake. I would have worried about the exact same thing, that just trying to distract you and jump you from the side. But some years ago, I was up on Capitol Hill walking, you know, like a Saturday morning or something, and this guy walks up to me, nice-looking young guy, nicely dressed, and says, my car broke down a few blocks from here. I just need $5 or $10. Very sincere, and I was an idiot, and I gave him $10. And I walk around the corner. I go into this little deli to get a sandwich or something like that, and he's there buying beer with my $10. So it's almost always
well,
a
you
scam.
Can't start a car without
most,
beer.
Most important question, though.
Start a fire without a spark.
Six
guns for hire.
Did his license plate have the dealer
Maryland.
Frame around it?
No, I didn't. But it's a Maryland.
That would have been a
Maryland plate. Yeah, Maryland plate, not a district plate. Maryland plate. Michael?
I would immediately think of this as a scam. I would like to think that I would stop and hear his story, but I would keep the window rolled up and I would drive. I would take a route that keeps me on a busier street, because what you are forgetting to tell is that this is on your way to PTI.
Yes.
So this is in the middle of the workday when there's actually not a lot of vehicular traffic in this particular neighborhood. And this is at a five-way intersection where people are known to go through stop signs. And I would not like this to be a road rage situation in the best case scenario, though with his story, it's not that. I also would bring back Luke's point about your neighborhood is a bridge to a lot of the surrounding areas, whether you're going from D.C., downtown D.C. to the suburbs, whether you're going from Maryland back into the city. People are using these city neighborhood streets as cut-throughs, and they provide perfect escape routes. Correct. If you were trying to get somewhere else quickly. And about 6 years ago, there was actually a dead body found in a sitting car
on
your quiet little street inside the city line for that very same reason, because someone could just dump the car there and then get out.
That stuff happens. Dead bodies.
All the time. Happens all the time.
Yes.
I carry a blade. I carry a blade in my car at all times. I have a big hunting blade in the center console. In this situation, I would have
reached for it.
Reached there, just sort of, what's going on here? What's going on
here? I just want to point out, we're learning a lot about Luke today.
Yes.
Learning a lot.
Nigel?
That was good.
I would have said, look, I'm on my way to work. Here's keys to my other car, and if you're hungry, just go into that house right there and make yourself a sandwich.
Yeah.
No, it's a total scam. I mean, that would have been my reaction. If you're on your way to Baltimore, you don't go through your neighborhood to get there.
Right.
And I'm just, and again, what these guys have said, if you got an engine light on, you're going to stop some random, hey, man, my car's freaking out. What do I do? There's a lot of service stations not that far from there. And you go up to Connecticut, and there's a bunch of places that will actually help you out. It just seems highly suspicious.
So none of you would have been receptive to this or helped him out.
No, because
we all grew up here.
Yeah, and we've all had experience with this. I mean, even if somebody on the street starts to approach you, you've got the condition to keep your eyes down and just turn away. You're just like, I'm sorry, I've done this too many times.
Okay. I gave him a 20.
Oh.
I said, take care of your daughter.
Oh.
Didn't mean anything to me. I'm very lucky.
Yeah.
Did you throw it?
No, I didn't throw it.
What was his reaction?
Thank you very much. Drove away.
Okay, well, then it was a scam.
Of course it was a scam.
Because
I understood it was a scam.
Okay. Right.
But that's what I did.
Okay.
I told this to the people at work as well yesterday, and, maybe one said I would have given him some money even realizing it was a scam, and everybody else said I've gotten out of Dodge. Just get out.
Yeah.
Get out.
Well, it was an awful lot of work on his part, so good on him for that.
Well, it's the gas money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could get him to Baltimore.
If it was just a simple thing about money.
Because I needed that to buy grass seed.
No, I think if it's just about money, you always want to help somebody out. And I always,
I said, take care of you. I looked at him and I said, take care of your daughter.
But
and I gave him.
Did you say that thinking you're going to make him feel a little guilty? Because you knew.
Did you say what's her name?
A little bit.
What's her birthday?
Yeah. No, but I also, there was the part of me that said, look, I've got a phone right here. I can call the police right now and get you some help.
Yeah,
and I knew he would have left at that point. I mean, I didn't know. I felt, but
see,
I
did, what worries me what about this is that this happened on your street. And last night at dinner, something that colored the way we were looking at this discussion was whether or not Liz was in the car, my wife, whether she was alone or with the child.
Oh, I think that makes an enormous difference. Your condition when
but
this happens.
Your
to
wife
you.
Was sitting at a house, half a block down from this, and you are leaving that area. It's not that hard to use the clues around to figure out whose house is whose and to come back day in every day. I would not do that on my own street. It might be different if you were downtown or in a different neighborhood.
And maybe he comes back, right? Now that he's been successful, maybe he comes back.
My other daughter.
Yeah, just
comes back for the tomatoes in the little house.
I think, well, if the tomatoes are missing, I think we've got a chief suspect at this point.
We'll take a break. Come back with email and a jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here comes Tony's mailbag. Got your emails, faxes, and your notes. Here comes Tony's mailbag. Gonna read some for all of you folks.
It's nice when Denise Graves sings for you.
Yeah.
She's the greatest opera singer in the United States of America.
Not bad.
Let me thank Barry Zerluga for coming on the show. Let me thank today's sponsors, Policy Genius and Casper Mattresses, favored by Bootsy. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. From Sue Meyer in Ponte Vedra Beach in Florida, she emails us a lot. I'm just back from the annual Peloton convention and kind of disappointed not to see Tori there.
I didn't know there was one.
I got to wondering what her leaderboard name is. I'm kind of hoping it's Rumsfeld's Secret Service name or something equally clandestine. Can you see if she will divulge?
I stupidly just use my real name.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody else has cool names like, you know, Rock in the Red kind of stuff, but no, just my real name.
From Don Hammock in Biloxi, Mississippi, congratulations on what appears to be consistent player's lot parking. I'm pretty sure your next step will be to vetch for bullpen parking. By the end of the season, you'll be driving the relief pitchers in from the pen for all the changes before 7:30 p.m. If you get the player's lot, you got to go. I was really happy.
Time.
I'm thrilled. I'm grateful.
Every time.
Charlie Burt, Springfield, Virginia. The Caps are like fine jazz musicians. It's more about the games you don't win. From Paul Davis in New Orleans. So when are you guys making red chatter shirts to sell? It could have the Kornheiser Curse 2018 emblazoned on the back with the quote, "They're going to win the Stanley Cup." Maybe you could sell it for $8 in honor of Ovechkin. I'll hang up and listen. No, we sell $12 t-shirts, which is an incredible bargain.
That is a great bargain.
Reagan Fitzgerald in Bowie, Maryland. As a longtime Little, I am shocked to say this, but for the first time since he's been on your show, I actually want you to let Saliza speak. Let's have that Champions League preview. Can Liverpool's youngsters overcome Real Madrid's experience? Who will win the Salah or Salah Ronaldo duel? Will any of the fans actually make it to Kiev for the match? From Jonah in Chicago, I recently had my own Mr. Tony moment. The people to whom I'm related by birth, who are Mr. Tony Vintage, were visiting. Mom was on the phone with the credit card company trying to track down a birthday present. She was talking to the automated menu machine. Her side of the conversation went like this. I hate these automated menu things. Dad shouting from the other room. What menu? Where are we eating? I don't see a menu. Mom, statement. Dad, what statement? I didn't make any statement. Who's making statements? Mom, representative. Dad, representative. What? What representative? Who? I kept waiting for Mom to shout Wi-Fi, but she never did. And then I realized this show in my life had intersected. And I thought to myself, this is what it must feel like to be Michael. From Dominic Marasco, you spoke about how everyone has a podcast idea. Well, I think mine is a winner. The Smug Percent, starring Luke Russert, Chris Saliza, and Steve Sands, discussing the trials and tribulations of private school, traveling the world, and being in the 1%. I think the common man should know how the better people live.
Yeah. Pretentious are us.
From Dell, from Pine Bluff. And Pine Bluff's in Arkansas, I assume.
Yes, it is.
Following your discussion. Darn, I almost
got
through the
whole
show.
We need you for a few more years here.
Following your discussion of Wales yesterday, I wanted to share this totally true story that actually happened. I was boarding an airplane to London last month, and I found myself pressed between two lady passengers who were on the more voluminous side. In the conversation they were having around me, I noticed an accent, so I asked, "Excuse me, are you two ladies from England?" One of them glared at me and answered, "Wales, you idiot." So I tried again. "Oh, sorry, you two Wales from England?" That's funny. I expect to be out of the hospital sometimes. From Jeff Rankin Lowe in London, Ontario. Further to Nigel's report on Thursday about Air Force bombers being used to divert a lava flow in 1935, I thought you might like to see the badges of that unit, now known as the 23rd Bomb Squadron. It's a B-52 Stratofortress squadron assigned to the 5th Bomb Wing at Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota. A subtle feature of the badges is the way the bombs are grouped. Note that there are two on the left and three on the right, indicating the 23 of the squadron's number. I worked in radio for a number of years, so I'm well aware that this isn't exactly gripping radio material, but given Dr. Mr. Porthouse's fascination with numbers, I thought he might find it interesting to see the badges anyway. And I do like that. I find... Look at that, Luke. I mean, you're an only child. If I am, you are. Steve Hansen, dear Grandpa.
Whoa, that's an incredible logo.
Yeah.
Is bombs going into a volcano.
Yes. Well, that's what it was. Your recent mention of Rick Mount brought back great memories of my youth. All the boys of my day, which is not much different than your day, in Hoosier Land, wanted to be Rick Mount. No one could shoot a basketball like Rick Mount. He had the purest shot I've ever seen. My fraternity brother in college bragged about guarding Mount when they played Lebanon High School and holding him to 56 points. I only saw him play once in person when he played for Purdue, and he dropped 60 on Iowa, and this was before the three-point basket. Three names really stand out in Hoosier basketball: Bobby Knight, Larry Bird, and Rick Mount. Thanks for rekindling my memories of this Hoosier icon. Please give a shout out to my son, Jeff Hansen, with whom I regularly share our enjoyment of listening to your great show over the years. You guys are great. If you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
How great is that?
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Drunk, he tried to make